First of all, I want to clarify, I was not trying to be clickbaity. I wasn't trying to be funny or trolly. Like, I put a lot of time into this mock draft, but I was being totally serious. And, you know, as you just read off some of those comments, some people just absolutely hated it.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome in to another offseason episode of the Broncos Wire podcast. I'm Ryan O'Leary, joined as always by John Heath, my good friend and the managing editor of USA Today's Broncos Wire. We're recording this on a Thursday, 1 week out from the 2024 NFL draft, which, John, that has to be music to your ears at this point, right? All the coverage, all the mock drafting, all this crap. Gotta be music to your ears. We're 1 week out, my man.
Yeah, I'm so eager to get answers. Like, the speculating is fun for a time, but it's been going on for so long and there's so much uncertainty. I just want to know, you know, one, what the plan is, and two, how things work out. I just want to see what we're working with for 2024. So it's going to be a great relief.
Yes, it is. And speaking of getting answers, a lot of Broncos fans want answers from John for the 7-round mock draft he just put out on Broncos Wire. And if you haven't seen it, please go visit broncoswire.com and check that thing out. And you can follow along with some of our commentary. We're going to go through the mock draft and John is going to answer for himself. But that is coming up. We're going to tease that. First, we want to kind of get to a current event with the Broncos leading into the draft, and that is Courtland Sutton, John, one of the few remaining wide receivers we have on the depth chart. Courtland Sutton is skipping the voluntary part of the workouts. He's not happy with his contract. The Broncos picked up, what was it? He had like a small guarantee. It was $2 million guaranteed that they picked up. But that's the only guarantees he has left in his contract, including next year. No guarantees in his contract next year. Courtland Sutton wants a new deal. Your thoughts?
You just laid it out there. And as we record this, who knows? Maybe he'll show up tomorrow. Like, we don't know if he's just going to flip a switch and be back. But as we're recording, he's not showing up. And NFL Network and others have reported that it's because he's not happy with his contract. Like, I like Courtland Sutton. I appreciate what he's done for the Broncos, and especially last season, he came off, he had a really nice year, and I think that's probably part of what is prompting this. He's coming off a really nice season, and he doesn't really have financial security. The Broncos could cut him, so he just wants more financial security. But when that, I believe it was NFL Network first reported that he wants it there because he's seeking a new deal, I was like, really, Courtland? I was like, read the room. Like, this is not a very good time. The Broncos are eating $53 million this year after they cut Russell Wilson. And Courtland Sutton, his base salary is $13 million, which isn't the end of the world. But his cap hit is a little more than $17 million. Next year, his base salary goes to 13 and a half, and his cap hit again is above 17. So that 17 is the practical salary cap number for the Broncos. And it's obviously that's higher than 13, but it's just like, dude, when they have so much money going to Russell Wilson, who's not even on the roster, they have so many roster needs. They're already in a really tight salary cap pinch. And then you go, oh, by the way, I want more money. And like, I hesitate to say that because I feel like I'm stealing your thunder here, but I don't generally, like, I'm not mad at players for wanting to get paid. Like NFL players, especially, they put their bodies through so much. Like, I get it. You have a short window. You want to make as much as you can, you know, for as quick as you can, because you never know when your career is going to come to an end. So I get that, but I'm just like, Sutton, you can want that, but I just really don't think the Broncos are going to give it to you. For one, because they don't have much to give out. And two, like, they're in a rebuilding stage right now. Like, they're in the draft Marvin Mims and have him on a rookie contract for the next 4 years stage. They're not in a, you know, let's give a big contract to a receiver that's turning 29. Next year will be turning 30 years old. And, like, it's great he scored 10 touchdowns last year, but he's not going to do that every season. Like, he's not going to maintain that kind of production every year. And he's like, I love Courtland Sutton, but he's not an elite receiver. He's not one of the top wide receivers in the NFL. There are so many top receivers in the league. And a couple people, it's funny, you can tell which outlets like NFL Network that are getting a spin straight from Courtland Sutton's agent talking about, oh, Courtland Sutton, he's played with all these different quarterbacks, all these terrible quarterbacks with the Broncos, which is true. And they're like, and he deserves to be rewarded because he just scored 10 touchdowns last year, despite the Broncos' terrible quarterback play. And I'm just like, if you look across the NFL, there are so many super talented receivers that no matter who's throwing the ball, no matter how terrible the quarterback is, they still put up great numbers just because they're that talented as receivers. And Sutton, like, yeah, he's been good. He's been the Broncos' best receiver, but he's not, you know, there's a reason he only went to one Pro Bowl. That was earlier in his career when he had, you know, like a 1,000-yard season. Like, for most of his career, he's been like a 700, 800-yard guy. And again, like, I like Cortland Sutton. He's a good player. He's been a reliable, good receiver for the Broncos, but he's not one of the NFL's best. The Broncos are not going to make him paid like one of the NFL's best. And I think they're much more likely to trade him than they are to pay him. And if you want, we can get into, I think, some hypothetical scenarios of some teams that might be interested in trading for him.
A trade makes a lot of sense. And I think you actually laid that exact scenario out in your mock draft, which we're going to get to. I think it's a really interesting conversation because I can see both sides of it. I've said it plenty of times on the podcast before. Like, I'm always on the player's side when they're in a negotiation. Like, I remember last year, John, I got in trouble with the Giants fans for calling them a bunch of babies for whining about Daniel Jones's contract because they were so hot and bothered that he was getting paid $30 million a year. And I was like, who the F cares, like, what the Giants are paying the guy? Be happy for Daniel Jones. Who cares? They'll figure out the cap. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, so I got all kinds of trouble with Giants fans last year yelling at them about that. But on for Sutton's side, it's like, you know, you said read the room, John. I think he is reading the room. He's saying, yo, you just traded Jerry Jeudy. And look at Greg Dulcich's hamstrings. The guy can't get on the field. There's no one who's catching the ball besides me and Marvin Mims right now. No one. So pay me. So I think, you know, the timing, I kind of get it from that perspective. Also, he's in a position where he knows his contract is team friendly, not player friendly, because he doesn't have a lot of future comfort. When you don't have a lot of guarantees in your contract, you don't have, you know, you don't have a lot of control over your future, right? They can move you, they can cut you. So I get it from Sutton's side a lot. I also get it from the Broncos side if they say, no, go pound sand, Cortland. You know what I mean? Like that thing, like, I just looked this up on SpoTrack. In terms of the highest paid wide receivers in the league, John, Cortland Sutton is in the top 25. He ranks 22nd among all wide receivers in football, the way his current contract stands. Now, if he gets a raise from the Broncos, which neither of us think he's going to, but if he were to, say the Broncos say, all right, Cortland, we'll work with you. We're going to pay you, you know, as a top 15 receiver. We're going to give you a raise. That would put you in the Keenan Allen, Chris Godwin, Amari Cooper range of $20 million a year. Would you say Cortland Sutton has earned the right to be a $20 million a year receiver? I don't. I know you don't either, John, right? So I think if this is really a point of contention here between the player and the team, a trade is not out of the question, right? And teams were calling on Cortland Sutton during the trade deadline last year. John, I know you had a story on Broncos Wire about the Ravens calling for Cortland Sutton, right? And before they ultimately signed Odell Beckham Jr., was that last offseason?
Yeah, that was last offseason.
I think a trade more likely than a pay raise. I think we're both in agreement on that.
Yeah, exactly. And just like you said, the Ravens there, I think, are a team to watch because Beckham now is a free agent. And the Ravens, I think, still could use a receiver like Sutton. So maybe they'll come back around. The Steelers, I think that's an interesting one because, you know, he just caught 10 touchdown passes with Russell Wilson. He was his favorite target last year. Maybe he could reunite with him in Pittsburgh. And the Bills, obviously, after trading Stephon Diggs, they could really use a receiver. And, like, you know, everyone in mock drafts has the Bills drafting receiver in the first round. But the top receivers, they're all going to be gone because the Bills are at the bottom of the first. So if the Bills don't want to settle for, like, I don't know, the fifth, sixth best receiver in the first round, you know, they can trade for someone like Sutton, who is an established receiver and know exactly what they're getting. And then they can draft a receiver in like the third round or the second round or whatever, where that receiver should be drafted instead of reaching for a guy at the bottom of the first just because you really want a receiver. So I think there are a couple. There's another team there that I didn't mention because I'll get into it in the mock draft, but I think some teams could be interested in him. And it's a question of compensation. What would teams be willing to give up? And what would the Broncos be willing to accept? And we also don't know, like, how big of a deal is this to Sutton? Is this just something that it's like, well, this is voluntary anyway. You know, I wish they would pay me more. Like, I'm not going to get in big trouble. I'm not going to get fined. And the team's like, hey, we're not paying you more. We wish you were here, but it is voluntary. So, okay. Like, what it will really push will come to shove in June. The middle of June is mandatory minicamp. If he's still holding out then, you know, then it'll be a different conversation. But right now, it's possible that it's not even that big a deal. Maybe he's not even that disgruntled and the agent is just like blowing things out of proportion. I don't really know, but you know, it's something to keep an eye on. And it's, he's truly is a player that I really think, like, if he really wants, like, if he's like, hey, I need to be paid more. And they're like, well, we can't pay you more. So we'll trade you somewhere else. Maybe someone else will pay you more. You know, it, he could be moved during the draft this next week. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's an interesting take on it. And it's something that we'll be watching here in a week when the draft finally arrives. And before we get to your mock draft, John, a couple hours before we hit record here, George Payton met with the media, laid out a few things. He did talk about teams calling about number 12 overall, right? Trading up, trading down. He did discuss that. Did anything come out of that press conference that you think is notable that we should lay out there before we get into the 7-round mock draft you put on Broncos Wire?
Not anything that was like groundbreaking. It was George Payton and Sean Payton. And like, I get it. I understand. They're not going to go and tell everybody what they're planning to do or what they want to do, because then all the teams are going to hear it too. But
probably the opposite, like you said, right? They'll say the opposite of what they actually want to do.
Yeah, exactly. It's
like what they do this time of year.
He did, like you said, he said teams have talked to them about moving down, the Broncos moving up, or the Broncos moving down, another team moving up in the first round. So, and sometimes they will say teams have called them when it's really the other way around. But whatever the case may be, the Broncos have had conversations about moving up and down. Not that that is like some big breaking news, but it's just something to keep in mind. They do have flexibility. And, you know, they were asked about picking a quarterback at 12 and you know, there was a lot of long-winded answers about the many different scenarios, but George Payton basically boiled it down to they don't want to reach for a quarterback just for the sake of taking a quarterback at 12. They think there's going to be really good players available at 12. And if, you know, a quarterback's at the top of their board and like positional value will come into play. So like if they love Bo Nix, you know, maybe they will take him at 12, but like, if they like Bo Nix and they have him ranked 20, I don't think they're going to reach for him at 12, you know, just based on, you know, what they're saying. And again, like we take all this with a grain of salt, you know, maybe they're just saying they don't want to reach for one. So teams assume they're not going to take Bo Nix. I mean, I don't know why they would even be worried about that, because I don't know who's a threat to take him before them or trade up above them.
Not many.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it seemed like both Sean Payton and George Payton, it seemed like, unless they were just putting on a front, they weren't too concerned about Cortland Sutton. Sean Payton said there was like 98% attendance. You know, I think he was just making up a rough number. He said there's like two or three guys that aren't there, and that he's spoken to all of them. And he was like, it's voluntary. It's only the first week. So they kind of downplayed it. It doesn't seem like, at least publicly, they're making it sound like it's some big rift or something. But you know, Sutton's not there. NFL Network says it's because of his contract. So we'll see what comes of it.
Could just be a veteran player wanting some time off, you know, early in the process, which is not that uncommon across the league. And this gets us to our mock draft, John, and to preface your draft, which again was excellent. I found your draft to be great because it was unlike any other mock draft for the Broncos I've seen. So it was definitely different, and it comes with a bunch of trades that weren't exactly like, oh, let's trade this pick for that. No, you have picks for players and players for picks, so it's like, it's kind of fun as well. And it also riled up the fan base a little bit, John, which I have to give you some credit for. I mean, just reading from some of the comments on Facebook, one person gave you an F-, legitimately one of the worst mocks I've seen this offseason. Draft day can't get here any sooner. We all agree with that last part. I don't know if I agree with the F minus. Oh, that was a pretty good mock. Another person gave you an F. Another person said terrible. So bad. Another one said, wow, this sucks. So, John, I got to commend you. You actually get an A because you riled up the fans so much, and we're going to get you to explain yourself a little bit. But first, talk through the three trades that you kind of launched you into this mock draft. You have three players. Two of them are current Broncos that are getting traded away. Another one is a player that you're bringing in. But let's set the stage there. Talk about the three trades and why you're making them.
First of all, I want to clarify, I was not trying to be clickbaity. I wasn't trying to be funny or trolling. Like, I put a lot of time into this mock draft, but I was being totally serious. And, you know, as you just read off some of those comments, some people just absolutely hated it. That's just the internet. Like, you don't, people don't have to like this mock draft, but I'm not trying to be clickbaity or obnoxious. It's just, this is the mock draft that I came up with, and some people really didn't like it. And
I'm proud of you, John. I'm proud of you. Good job.
Some of the stuff, it's not like I necessarily personally want it myself. It's just something that I could see happening. And I think sometimes people have a hard time disconnecting those two things. It's like, oh, you think we should do this? I'm like, no, I'm not necessarily saying I think they should. I just think that they might. And I think that's where some of the anger comes out from readers. But anyway, that little spiel out of the way, there's the three trades right off the bat. Like you said, this is goes right to what I was talking about. It's not necessarily that I think they should trade Garrett Bowles, but I think they could trade Garrett Bowles. He's coming into the last year of his contract. There hasn't been a peep about them giving him an extension. And so I'm just like, okay, you know, if you're keeping him, you know, at some point they got to give him an extension. If you're not keeping him, you should probably draft his replacement now, because you don't want to go into next year and have to draft a rookie and have them start day one after you lose Garrett Bowles in free agency. So if they're not keeping him, I think they need to start planning for the future. And if they're not keeping him, you can trade him now. And you, obviously trading him now is better than losing him for nothing in free agency. And depending on who they sign themselves in free agency, maybe they would get a comp pick for him, but that's never guaranteed. So I just think that they could trade Garrett Bowles. And in this mock draft, I had him go to the Patriots. And this is interesting talking to you about it. I'm curious because you're a Patriots fan yourself. And I have the Patriots giving them a second round pick for him. And maybe that's unrealistic. Maybe Garrett Bowles is not valued that high. But part of my reasoning was the Patriots are right at the top of the draft. And say they get a quarterback right there at the top of the draft, but they also need a left tackle. By the time they come back in the top of the second round, you know, there could be 7, 8, 9, you know, of the really good offensive tackles all already off the board. And so the Patriots are like, hey, we really want to tackle, but we have to take a quarterback or, you know, whatever at this top of the draft spot. We're not going to get one of those tackles. We can trade for Garrett Bowles. We know exactly who he is. He's an established, you know, he's been like a Pro Bowl caliber left tackle in this league. We can get him, you know, and then they can give him an extension. So I have them and I'll try to not be this long-winded for every explanation, but that's the Garrett Bowles. And then Cortland Sutton, like we already talked about, I don't think they're going to pay him, you know, unless he'll just stick around for his current salary. I could see them trading him. And I had him going to the Cardinals, and I had Arizona giving Denver a third round pick. And again, maybe that's not realistic because the Broncos, they only got a fifth and a sixth for Jerry Jeudy, and Jerry Judy's younger, but Jeudy was in the final year of his deal. Sutton is in the, you know, he has 2 years left on his deal, and he's been a little bit more consistent. So, you know, they might have comparable value. It's hard to weigh that. One of the reasons I picked Arizona and thought that they might be willing to give up a third round pick is because the Cardinals have a bunch of picks at the top of the draft, and they have three picks in the third round. So if there's any team that might be a little bit more willing to give up a third round pick, it might be the Cardinals, and the Cardinals need a receiver. Obviously, if they draft Marvin Harrison Jr. at number 4, then they're probably not trading for Cortland Sutton. But there's probably going to be teams, maybe even including the Broncos, that want to trade up to that number 4 spot, especially, you know, if somebody's trying to go get JJ McCarthy or something. You know, the Cardinals are going to have probably a lot of offers to move down. So if they don't get Marvin Harrison, that, you know, perhaps they could trade for Cortland Sutton. And the Patriots, I have them in this mock trading for Garrett Bowles. You know, they might be a team to watch for Cortland Sutton as well. The Patriots could use a receiver. So I have those two guys getting shipped out, Garrett Bowles and Courtland Sutton. And again, just to explain, it's not like I think, you know, the Broncos definitely should and they have to trade. It's just like, I think they might, you know, I think it's something they could entertain, something they'll think about, something they might get offers for. So I just have it happening in the mock, you know, hey, the Broncos could trade Garrett Bowles. The Broncos could trade Courtland Sutton. And then the third trade, I have them that, you know, they have three picks in the fifth round. Last year, they traded a sixth round pick to get Adam Trautman from the Saints. And Taysom Hill, you know, I think, yeah, it's weird because Taysom Hill's a weird player. He's definitely not a traditional tight end, but I think Sean Payton, obviously we saw in New Orleans how much he used them on offense. They use him on special teams. You know, he's more than just a receiver and like a gadget thrower. Like you just put him back there and have him do a QB power and short yardage down near the goal line. Like he's a very good running weapon. And the Broncos, you know, they were not good enough punching the ball in on the ground when they got down near the goal line. Someone like Taysom Hill could help that. So I had them trading away Garrett Bowles, trading away Courtland Sutton, and then trading a fifth round pick for Taysom Hill. And that was a really long intro to the mock drafts, only getting those trades. Do you want to comment on any of that, Ryan, before I get into the mock draft picks?
Yeah, for sure. So first of all, I know, you know, some Broncos fans who read your mock were kind of upset with Bowles and Sutton getting traded for draft picks, but you couldn't ask for better compensation. I think getting a second round pick, especially as high as the one in that the Patriots would give in this hypothetical, 34 for Bowles, would be a nice return for the Broncos. And also Sutton, a third round pick for Sutton would be stealing, you know what I mean? Like, so that would, I think the compensation, you're trading good players, John, but at least you're getting good compensation back in your mock draft, but it still made people mad, which is, again, you did a great job with this mock draft. It's sparking conversation, which is what a mock is all about. It's supposed to be for fun. And it's supposed to be presenting realistic scenarios that might happen. And it could happen because Garrett Bowles, like you said, is going to command a big contract. The Broncos are currently in the process of resetting their financials, right? And the Patriots have no freaking tackles. Thankfully, they re-signed Mike Onwenu. He's going to play right tackle for them. He was a guard last year, but he's going to play right tackle for them this year. And they signed Chukwuma Okorafor from the Steelers. He's currently slated to be their left tackle, but he only started 7 games for the Steelers last year. He is not the left tackle. So they don't have a left tackle. So it's a good trade partner. The Patriots are a good trade partner. I don't know if they trade that second round pick. That's a pretty valuable one, but it's a good one, John. So I think that was a good partner to pick the Patriots. They're probably going to draft a stud quarterback in this draft at number 3, and they have no one. They have hardly anyone for him to throw to and no one to protect him right now. So that would make some sense. Sutton, we already talked about it, like typical NFL. If you're not instrumental to our team's success, like CeeDee Lamb, you know, like if CeeDee Lamb's demanding money and holding out, we're like, oh, okay, we better give him an extension right now. What do you want, CeeDee? You know what I mean? But he's not CeeDee Lamb. So if you're demanding money and you're not instrumental to our success, we'll find you a new home. That happens all the time in the NFL. Courtland Sutton on the trade block could happen. He's been on the trade block before, I think. They've taken calls on him. Another very, that's a palatable scenario that could happen. And then Taysom Hill, Sean Payton gets his binky back. So I think all of that makes perfect sense. And John, the Broncos have 8 picks right now as we speak in this draft. Most of them are on day 3, but they do have 8 picks. And now you've turned them into 10 here. Now we lose Garrett Bowles and Courtland Sutton, but you've turned, you turn 8 into 10 going into your draft. And now let's start with round 1, pick 12. We'll see if you have anything else up your sleeve in your mock draft, John. I've already read it, but I'm excited for you to get into it. Go ahead. Why don't you launch in? We have 10 picks now. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm just assuming J.J. McCarthy's not going to be there at 12, which ironically, the closer we get to the draft, the more I think, you know, maybe J.J. McCarthy is going to be there at 12. Maybe all this hype about trading up and having to go get, maybe all of that is just like agent talk and smokescreen stuff. And maybe the Vikings are going to, you know, maybe this whole time they've been targeting Drake May and they're going to go to that Patriots spot and go get Drake May. And then if they do that, who's going to get JJ McCarthy? Unless like the Raiders try to leapfrog the Broncos. But Yeah. Anyway, I say all that in this mock draft, JJ McCarthy is off the board. And so I have them, after trading Garrett Bowles, taking Washington's Troy Fontanu. And, you know, he is a guard, or excuse me, he is a tackle. He has some experience at guard. Some people project him to be a better guard in the NFL than tackle, but I think he could be a left tackle. And I have the Broncos here picking him to replace Garrett Bowles. And some people on Facebook and in social media comments were like, why in the world would you pass on the edge rushers at number 12? And I would love for Dallas Turner to be there at 12. I think he's the best pass rusher, and I would be very happy if they got him at 12. I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't think he's going to get past the Falcons, who I think are like 8. So I just don't think Dallas Turner is going to be there. The UCLA guy, he had that neck injury that was very serious. In the last 2 years, he's been healthy, so maybe he's fine. Jared Verse, I just think they can trade down and still get someone like him. So I don't think they need to reach for that number 2 or the number 3 pass rusher. And the number 1 pass rusher, Dallas Turner, I just don't think is going to be there. If he is, I would love to take him at 12. But I was just going under the assumption in this mock that JJ McCarthy and Dallas Turner are already off the board. So after trading Garrett Bowles, I have them replacing him with a new left tackle. And then we get to the second round. Pick number 34, this is the pick that we acquired in the Garrett Bowles trade. And people hated this because I had the Broncos picking Michael Pratt, who is Tulane's quarterback. And I need to explain that when I was making this mock, I was like, okay, I think Pratt is like a third or fourth round quarterback. And I was like, I cannot have them pick him in the fourth round because I think that's just too unrealistic. So initially I was thinking in the third round. I was like, before I do this, I'm going to message Jeff Ridson, who runs DraftWire. And obviously, nobody's perfect. Nobody knows exactly when everyone's going to go. But Jeff does a great job at DraftWire, and he knows a lot more about the draft, and he knows a lot more about prospects and their stock than I do. So, you know, I put weight in what he says. And I was like, hey, you think it's unrealistic for Pratt to go in the fourth round? And he was like, I think somebody will pick him in the second. I was like, okay, I'm running with that. And it's not because I think that's infallible and he's definitely going to be right. I just think I was way off thinking, maybe they can get him in the fourth. I think that's too low. Maybe it's a happy medium and Pratt's going to go off the board in the third round. But, there are teams that they'll fall in love with the quarterback and they'll end up picking him, higher than fans and a lot of pundits expect. And I think Jeff senses something like that happening with Pratt. And weeks ago, Sean Payton, I think it was on the Kay Adams show, he was talking about quarterbacks, and he was like, if I love a guy, I'm unconcerned with where people think we should draft him. And I was like, that's very interesting. And at that point, this was before the JJ McCarthy hype got out of control. At that point, I was like, I wonder if he's talking about JJ McCarthy, who, a lot of people don't have, as a top quarterback in this draft. Maybe he does. But, maybe that's a Michael Pratt. Maybe he's saying, in PFF's mock drafts, Michael Pratt's going off in the fourth round. I have a second round grade on him. I love him. Yeah. And again, this is just total speculation, total hypothetical. I'm just defending myself because I know so many people are upset about me mocking him to Denver in the second round. I just think, teams might view some of these quarterbacks with a lot higher grade than we do. And, you don't have to pick him at 12, obviously. But if you think he's not going to be there when you go back in the clock in the third, and if you've acquired the second, and, Michael Pratt is a guy who studied film of Drew Brees, and Sean Payton has so many connections to the school down in New Orleans on their coaching staff. He knows, they met with Pratt at the Senior Bowl twice. They met with him at the NFL Combine. They went to his pro day. They have a lot of intel on this guy. And it doesn't mean, it doesn't guarantee he's the one they fall in love with, but they could. Maybe this is the QB they fall in love with. And if you do, you pick him where you need to pick him because, you're not sure he's going to be in the third. So that's my reasoning for that. It's not like I'm Michael Pratt is, this big sleeper and they have to pick him in the second round. I just think, based on someone that runs draft wire that, knows more about where prospects will end up than I do. Presumably, maybe I say all this and Pratt does end up going in the fourth round. That would be kind of ironic. But I just wanted to defend that a little bit. No, yeah, that's why sure. I had him go off the board in the second round.
Troy Fontanu, the offensive lineman from Washington, not a sexy pick, right? So given how this offseason has gone, it'll probably piss off the fan base if they take a route like that, right? But it also opens up this, they could go a few different ways at 12 if they don't trade back and they don't take a quarterback. For me, it's like, do they take a quarterback or not at 12? Or do they trade back with the idea of getting a quarterback later in the first round if they're targeting a Bo Nix, as you said earlier, or a Michael Penix, which I've talked about on previous episodes, right? Because they could be sitting here at 12. There's going to be good offensive linemen like this Fontanu kid who you mock to them. They might be able to take the top corner off the board. If they like Quinyon Mitchell or the kid from Alabama, Tarion Arnold, yeah. They could take the top corner if they want. It's never a bad idea to add corners. They did that a few years ago with Sertan. They could do it again. Dallas Turner's probably not going to be there, but defensive line, corner. They could go defense. They could go offensive line. There's a lot of scenarios like you're tapping into here on your mock draft, John, where they stay put at 12 and make a pick that's not a quarterback. And you know where I'm going with this already, John, right? I hate this path because I think this path, this exact path that you've laid out, which is very reasonable, it's not an F-. You know what I mean? Like some of the people on Facebook said to you, this is very reasonable that they take this kind of path, an offensive line, corner, something like that at 12. And this would, I think, would qualify as punting at quarterback. You know what I mean? Because we're not trading back. And by the time the Broncos pick again, even in this hypothetical where we grab pick 34 from the Patriots, like your mock draft, I think Michael Penix and Bo Nix are out of the picture at this point. They're gone. So you're making this pick knowing that if we're coming out of this draft with a quarterback, we are reaching for Michael Pratt or Spencer Rattler or one of these guys. We're going to reach for him. Michael Pratt in the second round is probably a little bit of a reach. It feels a little reachy to me. And if we're punting on quarterback completely, and never mind in your mock draft scenario where we're like trading Garrett Bowles and Cortland Sutton, John, it's just like this is my worst case scenario situation because I feel like our fans going to be checking out on the 2024 season in August because what are we going to be watching? Jared Stidham's going to be up there with no one to throw to and no one to protect him.
We're going to for Sanders.
Oh my God. We'd be in tank mode. We'd literally, John, be talking each week next year during the season about tankathon. And that is just, that I hate tank
so
talk.
It sounds like you are giving it F-. Ryan.
Yeah, this
you
is know, just
you're being more diplomatic and polite about it, but yeah, not a fan.
I love it because you're presenting a very realistic scenario and path of the Broncos staying put at 12 and not taking a quarterback, something that could very well happen. And it just as I think through it, it's scary to me because I think that leads us towards the punt on quarterback in the offseason and draft because taking Michael Pratt or Spencer Rattler or one of these guys doesn't really do it for me. You know me. You know what I want. I tried to tell you, John, I wanted you to take Penix at number 12. You refused to do it clearly, so you didn't do that for me. If you wanted an A from me, you should have picked Michael Penix or Bo Nix or traded back and got one of those guys, and I would have been very happy with you. But no, you're presenting a scenario that I think could happen, but it also scares the crap out of me because this exact scenario leads the Broncos to being very uncompetitive, I think, in 2024.
I get that. So with all that said, moving on to the third round, I have Tavondre Sweat. He's a Texas defensive lineman. And, fans who are real into the draft, they'll know who he is. A lot of people had him projected a second round pick, and then he was arrested and charged with DWI. And I'm not sure how much, or if at all, that's going to affect his draft stock. Some people are like, oh, he's going to slide down in the fourth round now. And to me, that's unrealistic. I think he could be there in the third round. So that's where I have the Broncos picking him up. And at this very moment, the Broncos have three starting caliber defensive linemen, and that's what they have, a base 3-4 defense. But they just don't have much depth behind them, and DJ Jones is a free agent next year. So I think, you know, at the very least, you got to start planning for the future. So I have them taking Sweat there, and then have another pick in the third round because of that hypothetical Courtland Sutton trade. And I have them taking Chris Abrams Drain. He's a Missouri cornerback, and, you know, some people have him as more of like a slot cornerback, and the Broncos, they obviously they have that covered. But it, you know, he can play outside, and really inside, outside, you can never have too many corners. And like, I know the Broncos are really hoping Riley Moss is going to take a big step forward this year after not really contributing at all last year, but it's not guaranteed. And you know, a lot of, you know, I don't know if it's a smokescreen from the Broncos or if it's true, but it seems to, there seems to really be a notion that the Broncos feel like they don't have to take a corner early. And I think that either one says they're really confident in Moss, or two, they're just putting that out there because they want people to think that, and they are playing to take a corner early. So I don't know how to read that. So I just have them taking a corner in the top half of the draft, because in my mind, you know, if Moss doesn't pan out, you know, you're really going to be in a pinch at corner. And, you know, they might sign a veteran after the draft just to a one-year deal, just to have a one-year solution. And that's something they might end up looking at. But then moving on to the fourth round, I have Colorado State, Muhammad Kamara. He's a pass rusher, you know, in the Broncos defense, he would be an outside linebacker. And I wrote this in the fourth round. And then, you know, just, you know, hours after I wrote this, I saw, and again, like, you can't put too much stock into stuff because, you know, nobody knows everything. But I saw someone report that talking to teams, they expected Kamara to sneak into the third or maybe even the second round. And again, doesn't guarantee anything. But when I saw that, I was like, okay, it might be a little too unrealistic to have him in the fourth. But before I saw that, you know, a lot of mock drafts had him in the fourth or even the fifth round. So it felt like realistic when I made that pick. So then we move into the fifth round. I have Isaac Garundo. He's a Louisville running back. Javonte Williams and Samaje Perine, they're both going to become free agents next year. So I think the Broncos would be smart to draft a running back at some point. You know, it may be late, you know, might be middle, might even do it early. They're obviously not doing it at 12, and I doubt they'd like trade into a second round to get a running back, but they might do it as early as a third if their favorite guy's there when they come on the clock in the third. So I think that's a position that it would make sense to draft. You know, we've talked about it before. I think it's just smart business to draft running backs. Yep. And then again, I have another pick that as we get closer and closer to the draft, I'm starting to think, okay, maybe, you know, I have him ranked a little too low. Maybe he's going to go earlier than this. But in this mock draft, I have them getting Luke McCaffrey, the Rice wide receiver in the fifth round. Obviously, he's Ed McCaffrey's son. So this is the one pick that I think, you know, it would be hard to find someone in Broncos country that would be upset about drafting Luke McCaffrey, especially in the fifth round. Like, even the people that gave it the F minus, I assume they would be excited about drafting
him. They like the fifth round of your mock, just not the first four rounds.
Yeah. And then in the sixth round, Jalix Hunt, it's a very small school prospect, Houston Christian, but, you know, he played at the Senior Bowl and impressed teams. And, you know, maybe this is a little too early, even in the sixth round for him. Maybe he's going to be back end of the seventh round, maybe even go undrafted. But he's just a guy that I think is promising. Like sometimes just those late round sleeper pass rushers, you can just really, you know, strike it rich with them. Like they did that a couple years ago with Jonathan Cooper. And I don't know, there's just something about Hunt that strikes me as that kind of a guy. And then with their last pick in the sixth round, I did Temple linebacker Jordan McGee. And that was basically just because they could use depth at inside linebacker, and he's a good special teams guy. At this point in the draft, you know, they're just drafting based on the board. And I just hypothetically had Jordan McGee as a guy that was there for them. Again, like they have starters at inside linebacker, but they could use more depth, especially because they're talking like Drew Sanders is going to be an outside linebacker this year. So they could really use a second inside linebacker. So I had McGee there with their final pick. So it's 9 rookies, and then Taysom Hill is the 10th player added in from this class. It's gotten a lot of negative feedback. You know, hopefully, if nothing else, it's at least an interesting thought process for fans of, you know, a hypothetical, here's an approach they could take. Again, it's not like I'm out there beating a drum. You know, this is what I think they should do, what I want them to do. It's just here's some scenarios of stuff that I think they could do.
Yep. No, I got you, John. And I think, you know, negative or positive, anything that's any mock draft you put out there, it's such a, there's so many mock drafts out there, right? So any mock draft you put out there that's getting feedback and sparking conversation is a worthwhile project. So thank you for doing this, even though I'm not necessarily happy with this. You didn't do what I wanted. It's totally fine.
I appreciate how diplomatic and kind you are, Ryan. It's refreshing after the social media comments.
Yeah, I mean, if people knew who John Heath was, they wouldn't be commenting like that. Okay, let's put it that way. But, you know, this is the world we live in with social media comments. But one thing I did notice, just a couple observations, is you traded away a couple offensive players, and then you drafted a lot of you went heavy defense. Was there a reason you went heavy defense, John? Is that just kind of, you think the needs on defense are kind of, you know, at the fore with some of the, you know, the departures in free agency, we could say, some of the key defensive players we lost in free agency? You did go heavy defense in this mock.
I didn't necessarily set out intending to do that. It was just kind of how it fell. And yeah, kind of a little bit looking at the needs. Like, to me, Pat, well, obviously quarterback is number one, but like we've talked about all offseason, we don't know what they're going to do at QB. They're going to get a QB, presumably. We just don't know how aggressive they're going to be. But then, you know, besides quarterback, which is just a given, to me, pass rusher is most important. And like I keep talking about with Riley Moss, to me, having a starting caliber cornerback is really important. Their defensive line depth is not good enough. You know, they don't really have great inside linebacker depth. So yeah, I think there are holes on defense where they need help. And like receiver, if they do trade Cortland Sutton, they're probably not trading or waiting until the 5th round to draft a receiver. Like I have to admit that, you know, trading Cortland Sutton and then not drafting a receiver until the 5th, that's probably not really realistic. It was just kind of the way the board fell. And the thing is, they do have guys at receiver that they like. And like, they just used a second round pick on Marvin Mims last year. And he's not, you know, like your prototypical number one receiver, but Tim Patrick in theory is, you know, and they like Jalen Virgil, you know, they like Brandon Johnson. They have little Jordan Humphrey, you know, one of Sean Payton's Saints. They just brought in Reynolds from the Lions. So they have bodies at receiver. Maybe it's not as much talent as we would like, but they do have a lot of people at that position. And like, even with running back, I think it would be smart to draft a running back, but they don't have to have a running back in 2024, because, you know, even if Javonte gets banged up again, Piran's capable. McLaughlin, you know, made plays last year. And so the one position I ended up having them not take just because of the way the board fell was tight end, but they did acquire Taysom Hill, but he's not a true tight end. So and that may be a little bit cheating, having him count as checking off the tight end position. But again, like Adam Trautman is the number one, you know, Dulcich, we can't count on it, but it's possible that he stays healthy and is competent this year. And then they've got that young tight end from last year that Sean Payton seems to really like. So yeah, I don't mean to ramble, Ryan, but it was just the way it felt. Like, they have holes on offense and defense. I guess I felt like some of these defensive positions and the players that were available, it was just more of a priority to me.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. There's so many different ways this can go. We could have 10 people do a Denver Broncos mock draft and every single one of them could be different. We could have people trading all over the place, staying put, taking a quarterback, drafting an edge guy, drafting a corner. And I think a gaping hole in the Broncos roster right now outside of quarterback is just the skill position. You know what I mean? Like, even especially with Javonte Williams not being himself, you know, hopefully that changes this year. If he becomes more of the pre-injury guy we saw that flashed, I think that would help. But like, you know, there's some guys like Rome Odunze, the third wide receiver. That's in a lot of these mocks.
I don't. Is he getting to 12 in mock drafts?
I don't think so. I don't think so. But like, you know, Odunze, Brock Bowers is another one. Like,
Bowers is very interesting.
Yeah. Are you going with some of the skill guys? You think Bowers, Odunze, never mind that, you know, I'm not going to even mention Harrison Jr. or Neighbors because they're going to be gone. But like, you're assuming those top skill guys, you know, those first three receivers and Bowers, we're assuming they're off the board before 12, well, right?
Of those options, I think Bowers is the most realistic to maybe be there at 12. A lot of people have him going to the Jets at 10, which I think very well could happen. If he gets to 12, and you know, again, if the Broncos aren't going Bo Nix or Michael Penix or whatever, or if J.J. McCarthy doesn't slide down, like, yeah, I could see it happening because, you know, he's a very talented tight end. Of course, Sean Payton, you know, could find ways to use a guy like that in his offense. And then, you know, you kick the can down the road at quarterback if that's what they're playing. So of those guys you mentioned, I think Bowers, and I even in an NFL Wire mock draft that we did again with all the NFL Wire editors, I did end up taking Bowers in one of those. So it is something that I could see happening.
Yeah, if one of those guys, Odunze, Bowers, if one of them somehow slipped down because it gets crazy up there with the quarterbacks and all the trading and stuff, then that would be hard. That'd be hard for the Broncos to pass up on that elite skill position guy. So that's one path that I could see. I think if you wanted to do a mock draft to please the masses, John, and maybe get it right and maybe nail the pick, and actually if you really cared about getting the pick right, one of these corners, you know, like, again, Quinyon Mitchell seems to be a pretty popular one. I just feel like you have a chance to draft the best corner on your board. That's a tough one to pass up on. That's really tough. We've talked about that in years past. Dallas Turner, if he somehow slipped down there, which he's not, but I'm going to mispronounce his name, but the Latu kid is another one from UCLA, right? Possibly he could be there at 12. So there's just so many different ways this thing could go. But John, you mentioned a few times that this is not what you want to happen or necessarily think is going to happen. Your mock draft is what you're presenting, a scenario that could happen. So what do you want to happen as a Broncos fan? Put on your goggles. You know, I know sometimes you put on the blue and orange goggles. Put those things on, John. What do you want the Broncos to do in this draft?
I guess the unrealistic scenario that I would love, like you just mentioned, Dallas Turner. I don't think he's going to get there. But if Dallas Turner did fall to 12, I would love that. I would love, you know, it's crazy to say this now because thinking about a couple months ago how I thought about it, you know, but we've gotten to the point I would love for J.J. McCarthy to fall to 12 because there's been so much talk about, you know, these top three QBs are going to go boom, boom, boom. And then McCarthy is number four. So if you want him, you got to go get him. But like I said before, what if the Vikings, what if they're going after Drake May? Or, you know, what if they just don't like J.J. McCarthy? And supposedly, and again, it's so hard to tell what's true this time of year, but supposedly Sean Payton is a big fan of McCarthy. So if he gets down there to 12, I would love that. You know, more so than what I would really like to do and want them to do, I think a bigger thing for me is what I don't want them to do. I really don't want them to settle for Bo Nix just for the sake of drafting a quarterback. I just don't want them to be like, whatever QB is left at 12, we're picking him, no matter who that is, you know, even if that's the sixth best quarterback in the draft. Like, I don't think they would do that either. I don't think George Payton was necessarily lying when he said, you know, we're not taking a quarterback just for the sake of taking a quarterback. So if, you know, they like Bo Nix just fine, but they don't want to take him at 12 because they don't need to, I would be fine with trading back, getting more picks and taking someone like Bo Nix a little later. Like if they, and I know you and other people have said, well, if he's your guy, just take him there at 12 because nothing's guaranteed. But to me, it would feel like too much of a reach. And, you know, now that I say that, maybe that's what they're going to end up doing. He's by far the most popular pick for them for mock drafts. So it seems like the consensus is the Broncos need a quarterback. Bo Nix is the quarterback that's going to be left on the board. You know, most people have him ranked above Michael Penix and obviously like Spencer Rattler and Michael Pratt. So he's the guy that's there. So a lot of people are assuming he's going to be the pick. Well, I want to ask you, Ryan, you know, you teased last week, you're going to make your official Broncos prediction. You nailed it a couple years ago with Pat Surtain. And then they went 2 years without a first round pick. Now that the Broncos, and like you can cop out, say you think they'll trade down or even, you know, you'll think they'll trade up for, you know, Jaden Daniels or something crazy. But I want to hear what your official prediction is. You know, again, yeah. It doesn't have to be necessarily what you want, but what do you think will happen for them?
Yeah. Let me start with what I want. I don't think that'll be my official prediction because I've been talking about Michael Penix a lot. I just think if Michael Penix didn't have the injury concerns, you know what I mean? Which I think are valid. And I think that's why he's downgraded in a lot of people's worlds and on their boards. And I get it. But if he didn't have the injury concerns, wouldn't he be one of these top, he'd be up there with these top quarterbacks after the season he had. Washington was in the national title game. Washington. Most of that was because of this guy. He was amazing. He has a cannon, an absolute cannon. I think he's the perfect kind of quarterback for a Cortland Sutton type of receiver, by the way. So I love Michael Penix. I just don't know if he is a Sean Payton guy. He kind of feels like a cannon for an arm, you know, bomb it down the field, but maybe not the short and intermediates. Maybe not his. He'd rather bomb it 80 yards, John, than go underneath. And I maybe that's not going to jive with Sean Payton. It almost sounds like too much like what we had last year. You know what I mean? So I just don't know if the fit is going to be there. But they did have a top 30 visit with Michael Penix. They brought him in. They did the whole thing with him. I'm still rooting. I think what I want in my heart, I want them to trade back and end up with Bo Nix or Michael Penix. That's what I want. But, you know, my official prediction, I think they go defense. At pick number 12. And if you want to, I'm going to go with the kid from Toledo. That's going to be my pick. If I had to say, here's who I think they're going to end up with the most realistic. I think go with the Quinyon Mitchell kid from Toledo. I just think there's a chance that he's their number one corner on their board. I know he's been kind of climbing up a lot of boards, even though he's from a smaller school than the kid from Alabama, obviously. I think he's been a hot name, and the Broncos, I could just see them. This feels like a Broncos kind of pick to me. So I think that would be my prediction is they go with a high end defensive player. Again, if one of those top edge guys slide to them, edge, corner, something like that, I don't think it's tackle, and I don't think it's quarterback at 12, but although that's what I would do. I would probably just stay at 12 and take the quarterback or move back and get the quarterback. That's what I would do. But I think they're going to go. I think one of the top stud defensive players are. I just think this draft is shaping up. There's just going to be too many of those top stud guys on their board on defense are going to be there. And if we're talking about best position available, like they were blowing up our skirts here at the podium earlier today, right? Oh, we're not going to reach for a quarterback. We're going to go with the best player available. Then I think, you know, there's a good chance it's a Quinyon Mitchell. It's, the kid from Alabama there, Arnold. It's one of these guys. Latu, whoever it is. I think it's going to be a defensive player at pick 12. I'll go with Mitchell, but take your pick. You know what I mean? That would be my official prediction, but that's not what I want. I want a quarterback. I want Michael Penix. I don't want Bo Nix. I want Michael Penix. I'm sure it's not going to happen.
I get it. I could see that it would be funny after, you know, like I said, it really seems like they're downplaying corner and acting like they don't have to take corner until later. So if they did,
all the more reason to draft one
or Arnold. Yeah. If they take one of them at 12, you know, we're going to be like, okay, clearly that was a huge intentional smokescreen for them. And, you know, a couple of years ago, there once in a peep about them, you know, talking to Pat Surtain, bringing him for a workout, anything like that, because they wanted no one to have any idea. You know, he was their top target that they were wanting from the very, very start. So, you know, it could be that's happening all over again. We'll find out. But yeah, so your official stance is you want a QB at 12, or you'd be okay with trading down for one of Bo Nix or Michael Penix. Now, my official stance is I don't want Bo Nix at 12. So now it's probably what they're going to end up doing. But
you've been consistent with that. You've been consistent.
I would love, like I said, like Dallas Turner there, that would be amazing. I just think it's probably not realistic. It's so hard to predict because I just don't know who's going to fall and who's going to be there. But just assuming, you know, some of the people like Dallas Turner and JJ McCarthy aren't going to be available, I think I'd probably want to trade down, get some more draft capital, and then you can still get a pass rusher, or you can still get a corner, or like you would like, you can still get a Bo Nix or something. You can get them later in the first round and then get extra draft capital, maybe pick up a second round pick that you don't have currently. So my official stance is like Dallas Turner, great. JJ McCarthy, a dream, but that's probably not realistic. So I guess I'm hoping for them to trade down and you know, still get a very talented player a little later in the first.
Super realistic. I think that that could happen. That could happen. We both feel like it's way more realistic they're going to trade back than trade up, John. Before we wrap this up.
They don't have a second round pick, so I think that makes it difficult.
Agreed. So trading back, yeah, they have 8 picks in this draft. Is that right? 8 picks, but 2 of them are over the first 2 days. So you have to wait all the way to day 3. They have 1, 2, 3 fifth rounders. They have a couple 6 rounders. They have 1 fourth rounder. 1 pick in the third round, no picks in the second. So yeah, there's we're going to get real busy in the fifth round. They have 3 picks in the first 10 picks or so of the fifth round. So if you're and that's the most useless round in the NFL, I think, you know, that's the one where Bill Belichick will start picking punters. You know what I mean? But the fifth round is always like, that's one of those dead zones where, you know, it's just like teams will start reaching for players in the fifth round.
I'm trying to think of a rebuttal, trying to pop into my head a notable Bronco that was a fifth round pick, and good I'm luck. Blanking. So you might be onto something.
All I know is Belichick, who, you know, you could question his GM skills if you want. That'd be fair, but notoriously hated fifth rounders, and he would trade out of there. He'd rather have a sixth round. He'd rather have 2 6 for a fifth. You know what I mean? There's something about the fifth round. So beware. The Broncos, by the way, 3 picks in the first 10 or so picks of the fifth round. So yeah, getting into that second round would be huge. And I think you're going to be in a position where you could trade back at number 12 and still really get a player, whether it's defense, off, you know, quarterback, tackle. There's a million, there's a lot of good tackles, a lot of talent in this draft. Somebody said on Facebook, this is the most, what was it? Talentless draft or whatever it was. One of the worst draft classes in history. I don't know. I think there's a lot of good receivers in this draft. Running back, it seems like a little bit of a down year for running back, but there are tons of quarterbacks, tons of receivers, a lot of really good tackles, and you could get the top corner off the board at number 12 overall if you want to stay put. I just think you get a chance to grab a stud lockdown corner opposite Pat Surtain. That's going to be hard to pass up. So that's my official prediction again. I'll go with Mitchell. Of course, they'll pick the Arnold kid instead, just to prove me wrong, John. But I'll go with Mitchell. But, you know, what an interesting spot for the Broncos. We could talk about this for another hour, John. I think we're over an hour on this podcast now. We could talk for over an hour, another hour, and still have no idea and still talk in circles and come back to the point of nobody knows. Nobody knows what they're going to do. And let's just get to draft day and we're finally going to have our answers, John. Thank God. But, it's been fun.
Part of what makes it so hard is because it's 32 teams, 11 teams specifically in front of them. And we don't know what everyone else is going to do. So then it's harder to even gauge who's going to even be available for them. So it's a guessing game. That's draft season, mock draft season. It's part of what makes it so fun. But yeah, I'm ready for it to be over, ready for the draft to come around.
All right. So I think they go stud defensive players. They put it 12. And I'll be miserable if that's what they do, because that means I think we're going to suck in 2024 if they do something like that. John thinks they're going to trade back. I'm rooting for you, John. I want them to trade back. I think that's a good way to go. But what do you think out there, Broncos country? Let John know on Twitter. Interact with us, you know, on social media, Twitter, Facebook. We want to hear from you, even if you're giving us an F-, even if you're saying, wow, this mock draft sucks. Which, you know, was a pretty funny comment. Interact with us. Tell us what you think. And we will go from there. But, John, enjoy the draft, my friend, and we'll talk after it, all right?
All right, sounds good.